Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump holds his first cabinet meeting today with Elon Musk by his side. It comes as Musk's Department of Government Efficiency faces new scrutiny over whether it has the power to fire thousands of federal workers. But Doge is forging ahead. CBS's Carissa Lawson.
CBS News has confirmed that the Office of Management and Budget and the Office of Personnel Management are set to issue a memo telling federal agencies to prepare for large-scale layoffs. The memo is expected to ask agencies to submit reorganization plans by mid-March in anticipation of the broad staffing cuts.
Trump administration officials say Ukraine has agreed to terms of a mineral deal with the U.S. The president expects Volodymyr Zelensky to travel to Washington.
I hear that he's coming on Friday. Certainly it's okay with me if he'd like to. And he would like to sign it together with me. And I understand that's a big deal, very big deal.
Mr. Trump's demanded access to Ukraine's rare earth minerals to compensate for billions of dollars in wartime aid from former President Biden. House Republicans have approved a budget proposal that would allow the president to broaden his agenda. But CBS's Caitlin Huey Byrne says it is not a done deal.
This is just a blueprint outlining what Congress wants to cut and spend. And now various committees have to go through the process of filling it out with actual policy. And that will have to survive another vote.
Yesterday's vote, 217 to 215, with Kentucky's Thomas Massie the only Republican who voted against. A near miss on the runway at Midway Airport in Chicago, when a Southwest plane trying to land abruptly pulled back up to avoid colliding with a business jet taxiing across the runway.
See, hold right there, sir. Don't move. Hold position 560. That's our 2504. How'd that happen?
Air traffic control had cleared the small flex jet to cross one runway, but hold at another. The FAA says it went ahead anyway. The Southwest flight landed safely. The Vatican says the Pope is resting after a peaceful night's sleep. CBS's Seth Doan is in Rome.
His blood parameters are stable. There has not been another acute respiratory crisis, which is good news. We also understand that he had a CAT scan that had been scheduled to look at the bilateral pneumonia, the pneumonia in both lungs.
This may make you think twice about a tall glass of whatever comes out of the tap. CBS's Tracy Wolf.
The nonprofit organization, the Environmental Working Group, released its annual State of the American Drinking Water report, which identified 324 contaminants in drinking water, with detectable levels found in nearly every community water system.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Coming up on the next Midday Magazine, we welcome Chad Schooley from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department in part one and our friends from the ODC in part two. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
The Packers in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here at the NFL Scouting Combine, where over 300 of the top college football players are here to meet and work out for NFL teams. It's also a chance to meet with players' agents. But Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he's focused on the draft.
For me, it's more about getting to know these college players and making sure that the time we spend, not only in the interviews, but watching them compete on the field, you know, the weigh-ins, just everything that they do here, just kind of immersing yourself in that to get to know these guys as well as you can. You don't have this opportunity again. This is kind of a 1 week. So to me, that's the priority.
College hoops. Wisconsin over Washington, 88-62. Marquette down Providence, 82-52. The Bucks losing to the Rockets in Houston by 3, 100-97.
We just didn't play right. They kept getting stops, but then we kept going down, turning the ball over and making bad plays on our own.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Justin Bieber have taken to social media to voice their concern for the singer. Bieber's recent public appearances have shown him looking disheveled, gaunt, and exhausted, prompting rumors that the pop star is using drugs again. Bieber says he is overtired because he actively parents his newborn son and has been holding late-night recording sessions. Reps for Bieber have adamantly denied that the pop star is using hard drugs again. More to come, I'm sure. Evel Knievel was one of the most popular motorcycle stuntmen in the world, and at times was even successful. According to Puberty.com, Leonardo DiCaprio is in talks to play Knievel in a new biopic. Legend has it that over the course of his career, Knievel broke 433 of the 205 bones in his body. In 1971, Evel Knievel jumped his motorcycle over 19 cars, a record that stood until it was finally broken in 1998 by none other than... no idea. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Foggy with rain and snow showers this morning, and then it will be cloudy all day today. Our high 43 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some light snow after midnight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, breezy, 41. Then on Friday, partly cloudy with a high near 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Will Westmoreland is a farmer in southwestern Missouri. He has some explanations on why we are where we are today. It's really important. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Schwabba.
All right, here we go. Hour number two, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me as we broadcast statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Dr. Lyerly is still dancing in her hotel room. Are you dancing like nobody's watching, even though people are watching?
I didn't sleep last night, so I don't even know what I'm doing right now.
Isn't that weird how you sometimes get more energy even though you haven't slept and you should conceivably be tired?
I'm going to be tired tomorrow. But first, can I tell you that I was just texting with Todd, the voice Michaels, and guess what his favorite soup is?
The voice. I love it. What did he say?
Well, he reminded me that my favorite, like, easy-to-access soup is the tomato and roasted red pepper soup that comes in a box, and you can get giant boxes of it from Costco. I keep loads of it at home.
Really? Now, what are the health benefits? There's health benefits to tomatoes, right? Like, it has, like... what's it called? You're always bragging.
Definitely better than cheese.
Yeah. I don't do a lot of cheese. I got to be honest. I don't do dairy milk. I do oat milk. I don't know how much healthier that is, but I think I have a dairy allergy, so I go with the oat milk. What do you say about that?
Lots of people have dairy allergies as we get older. And certain demographics, like Black folks, tend to have less of that enzyme, so they tend to get more lactose intolerant. Asian folks as well.
I knew that about Asians. And so, but here's what... I read this years ago when I read the book Forks Over Knives. It said that Asian people don't have as many issues with their bones as they get older, even though they don't drink a lot of milk. And the point the guy made in the book was that the milk starts to work against you after age 25. Does that sound familiar at all?
I think it depends on who you are.
Yeah.
You know, like what your genetic makeup is, because I don't know about you growing up in Marinette, me growing up in Kakana, like we'd go visit my grandparents in the Fond du Lac area and we'd get our milk straight out of the bulk tank. We were milk drinkers constantly.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't have that. We are a family of inside people. We moved, to Northern Wisconsin from Chicago in the city to this rural little town. And we don't fish. We don't hunt. We don't drink milk right out of the cow. We don't do any of that stuff. And I feel
I never drank it out of the cow.
Well, I'm half kidding. But I mean, I wish we were a little more hearty, I guess, is what I'm not sure you can do that.
I think you can.
You probably can.
I kind of feel like there's a dare there. If we have any farmers out there, Pete would like to drink milk right out of the cow.
No, he would not.
What's the number?
I'm sure 855-752-4842. I'm sure there's a Pete
if you
that
have
would
a
do
cow.
That. Conrad will do it. Conrad, I'm going to volunteer Conrad services.
Nope.
I mean, you wash the udder. You know, it's not like it's...
It's odd.
Fine.
It's like I'm nursing from another species. I that doesn't compute with me.
Well, I mean...
Yes, doctor.
You nurse from the oat species.
The what?
Oat species.
Because I drink oat milk?
Yeah. That's kind of the only place I could go with that.
All right. Let's have, before we let you go, and I'm sure you're going to have to deliver a baby any moment now. I do appreciate your time. I know how busy you are. What Oscar movies have you seen and what have you enjoyed?
I can tell you the one that I did not enjoy was The Substance. And I know that Demi Moore is getting all of these awards and I just don't get it. And I appreciate Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And I am like grateful to her for her service. I loved St. Elmo's Fire, all of that stuff. But yeah, I am not loving it. Not loving The Substance.
I like when I heard about what it was about, I was like, all right, that's an interesting concept, but oh my gosh, that movie got so weird and just disgusting.
I couldn't even watch it. It needed to just end.
I watched it. I made it through it, but I don't know. That is not my kind of movie. Like if it wasn't an Oscar movie, wouldn't have done it. I would have turned it off, but yeah, I'm with you on that one.
I loved Conclave.
Yeah. I like Conclave.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I loved A Complete Unknown. I always like those biopics, though, so that was kind of fun.
Yeah, you know what I liked about A Complete Unknown was that it was just about that one brief time in his life where he went electric, and that's what the book was about, too. But it's too much to cover someone's life. Like, this new Springsteen biopic coming out is just about the making of the album Nebraska. And I find that interesting. Like, I don't want to see the baby who played Bruce Springsteen as a baby all through when he's 75 years old. So that's what I thought they did. You know, when they make A Complete Unknown, I thought they did it right. I thought it was great.
Me too. Okay. By the way, if you love Springsteen, listen to his bio on tape because he reads it and it's just beautiful. He's so, he is sentimental and he is honest and bare and I loved it.
He's a national treasure. I could not agree more and I will look for that. Thank you. We both liked Conclave. We both liked A Complete Unknown. We both did not like The Substance. What else have you seen?
The really controversial one that's on Netflix.
Emilia Perez.
In Spanish. Emilia Perez. That was the first one I watched. I liked it. I didn't love it. I thought it was very inventive and really well done, but it didn't stand out for me as like, this is this is like cultural history. I didn't love that.
Yeah, I kind of was like, this is interesting. But usually when you hand someone a completed screenplay and they say, it's interesting, it means they didn't like it. Like, there was so much going on in that movie. And I thought there was some interesting topics to tackle, but it just was all over the place and a very unsatisfying ending, I thought. All right, what else you got?
The Brutalist. I watched that one the other night.
So did you stream that?
I did.
Okay. So
I bought it.
You bought it. Okay.
It's super long. I had to watch it in two parts because I had to go deliver a baby in between.
Oh my God. You could have set up your phone over here while you were delivering the baby and kind of done both.
No.
You're probably an old pro right now, right?
Because it's beautiful. You have to watch it on the big screen because it's really beautifully done. And I love architecture. I actually went to the University of Minnesota initially to study architecture because Wisconsin doesn't have a public school that does architecture. So I love that whole, I don't love the Brutalist movement, but I love the art that is inherent within this movie. It's very well done.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So out of what you've seen, what do you think, what would be your odds on favorite or what do you hope wins Best Picture?
I loved Conclave.
Okay. Are you Catholic?
Anora. Have you seen Anora?
I have, yeah. I liked it.
I loved Anora too. I thought Anora was really well done and really spicy.
It's very spicy. And I liked the movie, but I think I went into it hearing it was the odds on favorite. And I'm like, this is a nice movie, but I didn't get the Best Picture. I just didn't find it that interesting personally. After the sex was done, I lost interest, you know?
And you started rubbing your feet and
Conrad, delete that out and stop laughing. Dr. Lyerly, we have a text here. I had a young man on the show last night, Chad Franker, who is designing a business that helps people. It's called A Meal with a Friend, and it helps combat loneliness. And he did all this research saying how mental health is so important. So he was just responded. He wrote so many texts here. He just loved what you had to say about that. So I wanted to share that with you. And then Robert on the stream says, This is Craig Anthony Kinnett says, also Zuppa Toscani. Am I saying that right?
Uh-huh.
Soup is stupid good. So I think that means I think that means he likes it.
It makes my kids eat kale. That's how good it is.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of text there too. So, okay. So Anora, is that your pick?
I'm not good at picking because I like so many things. I really loved Conclave though. I love Ralph Fiennes. The story was very interesting and it was really rich.
Very well
Anora
acted.
Was totally different. Very well acted. I loved Edward Norton in A Complete Unknown as Pete Seeger. As I was watching it, I was like, I want him to win because he was just dear.
He was so good. I was mad at Dylan at the end, at that last scene where he insisted on plugging in. I'm like, come on, this guy's helped you so much. It's one stupid concert. Just play the acoustic guitar and shut up. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking during the movie. That's
Bob
how much
Dylan,
I like Pete Seeger.
Known not to follow rules. You know, there is a legendary story here. When you talk to the people in Hibbing about Bob Dylan, they're all kind of like, you know, Bob Dylan. And then ultimately the story comes out that when he was a junior in high school, he pounded on the piano during the talent show and the principal came out and dragged him off the stage and wouldn't let him perform when he was a senior.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so
that's
he's
the
always
story they tell.
He's very authentic then, because that you're right, that's how he was. Robert on the stream says, I did for 37 years when my dad and uncle ran Lehman Valley Farms. The bulk tank milk was the best. Is that I think that was aimed at what we were talking about. Does that make sense to you? Bulk tank milk?
Mm-hmm. So after they milk all the cows, they pour it all into a big tank and it stirs.
Okay.
And that's where they keep it until the milk truck comes. And then they put it in the milk truck and the milk truck takes it away to the factory.
Wow.
But when you're, you know, when it's dinner time, you just go out to the bulk tank and you just scoop out some
scoop
milk
out
and
a handful of milk.
You get a pitcher, Pete.
But are your hands like sanitary? Like you're going in there like it's an eggnog at a party.
Well, when I was 8, I wasn't really thinking about that. But I distinctly remember saying to my mom, why does our milk at home not taste as good as Grandma and Grandpa's?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Maybe I'll take another crack at actual cow milk. Dr. Lyerly, thank you so much, as always. And when you come in, I will expect soup. And I have to start giving you swag, too. So I'll think of something here that Conrad and I can donate to your shelf at home.
Oh, I cannot wait to see what you come up with.
Well, I was half kidding. Conrad, now we have to think of something. So, all right. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful night in Hibbing. Be careful of those tours. They sound a little creepy, but I'm sure they're informative. So
I'll set you up. Come on. Let's go visit.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Lyerly. Have a great night.
Good night. Thanks for hanging out.
You're welcome. Thank you. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, ladies and gentlemen. A real trooper, a real rock star. If you're pregnant, I cannot recommend her services enough. I personally have never had a baby, but I know she does good work. Craig Anthony Kinnett checks in on the stream and says, Pete, last night I needed to stop on my way home to pick up some salt and vinegar Pringles. All because of your radio show. The only place I can get my favorite soup is in Costa Rica and California. Does anybody know where you can get a good seafood soup stew in the state of Wisconsin? Who just said, was it Cindy? Hotel Seymour
has a good clam chowder.
That's awesome. Robert on the stream says chicken dumpling soup is the best. I don't think too many people would argue. He says, I love homemade chicken and dumpling soup. Thank you, Robert, for those. These are all great texts. We're going to read more of them. We got a lot more to get through on the text line. Bob Dennis will be here next talking about mafia tourism here in the great state of Wisconsin. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the coming weeks, Virginia GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin considers multiple pro-voter bills sent to his desk by a Democratic majority legislature. A state constitutional amendment also moves to the November ballot, which restores voting rights to returning citizens after felony convictions. Almost a dozen pro-voter bills have advanced in January and February, most recently protecting voters from premature purges. Last August, Youngkin ordered voter registration purges within 90 days of the election, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court just 2 weeks before the election. In response, the Virginia legislature passed House bills prohibiting the purging of a voter using unverified external data as justification and establishing specific criteria for removal. SB 813 specifically prohibits voter list purges within 90 days of the election. After blocking GOP attempts to shorten early voting in primaries, the legislature passed SB 760, extending deadlines for returning mail-in ballots to 3 days after Election Day and allowing curing of deficient ballots. In 2023, Governor Youngkin reversed policies of recent governors and restores voting rights to citizens who've completed felony sentences only on a case-by-case basis. House Resolution 2 would automatically restore those rights and will appear on the November 2025 ballot. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Gonna beat some sweet sun.
Welcome back. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite kind of soup? Because it is National Clam Chowder Day. They're not doing jack for clam chowder around the world, but here in the U.S., America first, folks, clam chowder. It's all about the clam chowder. Brian from Milwaukee says chicken tortilla soup is amazing. It's so funny. Like, everybody's contributions here are making me realize how much I need to eat more soup, because chicken tortilla soup is outstanding and I haven't had it in years. I haven't even thought about it. Brian in Green Bay says tepid water. I'm a simple man. Okay. Just likes to use the spoon to eat tepid water. That's fine.
I don't know how well that tastes. But
living dangerously. He's getting his water, though. Brian also says your mother-in-law was protective of her creations. Snicker, snicker. Yeah, but more her soup than her daughter, apparently, Brian. Annie from Watertown says, yeah, no blank about the recipe. Sounds good and need healthy blank, as I see many on YouTube that would make my cardiologist cringe. Yeah, you got to be careful. Bob Dennis is joining me in the studio right now. If you're watching on the stream, this is Bob, an awesome guy. He's here in the studio. Love when Bob is here. We have great discussions. Do you have a favorite soup, Bob?
Actually, yes. And there are three types of clam chowder.
Yes. There is someone else, Manhattan, New England.
Manhattan, New England, and Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. I didn't know that.
And that is a clear base clam chowder.
Less cream?
No cream at all.
Oh.
And it's obviously very popular back east, but it's not something you find around here much.
Maybe I've heard of it at some point, but it doesn't even.
There's a lot of things that, you know, eat east that we probably wouldn't go near, but.
And they look down their noses at us.
Yes, it's like, I don't know what's wrong with you people in Midwest.
Have you ever had, Bob, have you ever had pho? Were you saying that right, Conrad? Is it pho?
It's pho.
Pho. Okay.
Remember, we're on the radio. Be very careful with that.
We don't have to beep that, though.
Didn't say the last two letters.
That's almost beepable. But that's Cindy from Wasatch. She says, my favorite soup is pho. And I've heard of that, but I didn't recognize it in print form here. Great, Cindy. Cindy's much more worldly than me. I don't know that I've ever had pho. Annie from Watertown says, don't forget there's Manhattan clam chowder. Very different. I think I already read that one. And then from the 262, chicken dumpling soup. My ex-mother-in-law. Did I read that one too, Conrad? I'm getting lost here. There's so many texts tonight. My ex-mother-in-law made the best dumplings, and she refused to give me the recipe. He did not get the recipe in the divorce. That's what I'm hearing.
Uh-oh.
Sorry to hear that, 262. Annie from Watertown says, if you eat beans regularly, you lose negative blank. Annie's got a real potty mouth, I will say. She does not hold back. Brian from Milwaukee says, tomatoes, taco seasoning, chicken, corn, black beans, and tortilla strips on top. Yeah, that is definitely chicken tortilla soup. Outstanding. Feel free to, if there's more to that recipe, Brian, feel free to share that. And then Nick from Marshall says, homemade baked potato soup with lots of bacon and plenty of cheddar cheese. Oof. That doesn't sound too... Can you eat that?
Probably not, but I would.
I would eat it before like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
I have found the older I get, the earlier I have to eat.
Yeah, me too. Not because like I won't sleep. I just sleep better.
Yeah.
Like if I ate that homemade baked potato soup with lots of bacon and plenty of cheddar, I'd have to sleep on my stomach. Right, maybe pull a Jimi Hendrix or something. I don't want to do that. From the 608, Pete, it's musk a day. Oh, musk a day. Right. I was saying, how would you say this, Bob? M-U-S-C-A-D-A.
I would defer to you.
I kind of just told you. I'm wrong. I always want to say Muscata, probably because I'm thinking of the wine, but I've been corrected several times on this show. Pete, it's musk a day.
Muscadet.
Tony the trucker. And he's a trucker, so I tend to believe him because he's all over the place and probably knows his cities. Eric, pho rhymes with duh, is a Vietnamese soup, includes rice noodles, shaved meat, other meats, and veggies can go into it. I'm sure I've had that. I love Asian food.
10,000 years ago, long before I was married, I dated a lady who was Chinese.
You dated a lady that was Chinese 10,000 years ago?
Yes. It's hard to believe. I've held up fairly well. And I think it is because of the soup, just to tell you. And she made the most amazing things. And then when I came to Wisconsin, I met two friends of mine who were from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Oh.
And I was in Oshkosh at the time. And Kun Chen Si and Seng Kwan Ku were their names. And Ku's family owned restaurants in Malaysia. And he would make food for us from just the most simple of things. And it was like, oh.
Like homemade.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It was just like, oh. Just let me die here.
I know. It's funny, as I get older, I have so much appreciation for the Asian foods and Mediterranean foods. And they're healthy, too.
For the Mediterranean stuff is really good as a diet thing. I mean, not as a diet, but as a thing to keep yourself
nutritious.
Healthy.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
A lot of vitamin K in that.
Exactly. Jameson from Pennsylvania says, chicken corn chowder with jalapeno peppers, a perfect touch of heat, add shredded Colby Jack and diced chives on top. Equals exquisite. You know, this might be the most, we've probably gotten over 200 texts tonight, and I feel like we need to have like some kind of soup exchange. I'm not trying to change the whole format of the show, but this is really cool. It makes me want to try all these soups. Nick from Marshall says, I changed my mind. Chili is my favorite soup, and the baked potato soup is my second favorite. Nothing wrong with that, Nick. I've flip-flopped a couple times here. All right, so our guest is Bob Dennis. We'll read some more of your texts coming back, folks. But we're going to talk to Bob about, you're so knowledgeable about so many things that I always wonder, but I love talking about the mafia.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do this. Let's give us one. So we're going to talk about mafia tourism, mm-hmm. which is a great way to talk about the mafia because we've talked about the mob before. And according to you, who I believe, I know you have a podcast, you talked about all this stuff, you're very schooled in it. There are a lot of places around Wisconsin that have mafia tourism. And is that a big seller in Wisconsin? Do people go there just to see the mob haunts?
I think people are amazed by it.
Yeah.
Because you always, when you think about mafia, you think about New York, you think about Philadelphia, you think
right.
about Chicago.
Sure.
You never think about Wisconsin. And so there are a lot of places that you can go that do have mafia connections and mob connections.
All right. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to do the news. We'll keep you informed, people, not just about soup tonight, but about what's going on in the world. And then we'll come back and we'll talk to Bob Dennis about some really cool mafia vacations and tourism. And maybe, you know, if we get crazy, we'll even tell people how they can join the mafia.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe Bob doesn't know that. I don't know. We'll figure it out, though. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on a Tuesday. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't you forget. It's my love. It never ends.
Grown Radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. President Trump holds his first cabinet meeting today, and Elon Musk will have a seat at the table as they get set to launch phase two of a government slimdown. Correspondent Jennifer Kuiper.
CBS News has learned that large-scale layoffs are in store. As first reported by CNN, a soon-to-be-released memo will direct government agencies to submit reorganization plans.
President Trump expects Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky to be in Washington Friday to sign a deal for rare earth minerals in exchange for
$350 billion and lots of equipment, military equipment, and the right to fight all.
A near miss between a passenger plane and a private business jet on the runway at Chicago's Midway Airport. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
The pilots essentially floored it and pulled up, aborting the landing. Preliminary flight data shows the Southwest jet cleared the business jet by about 250 feet.
The FAA says the smaller plane entered the runway without permission. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here at the NFL Scouting Combine, where over 300 of the top college football players are here to meet and work out for NFL teams. It's also a chance to meet with players' agents. But Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he's focused on the draft.
For me, it's more about getting to know these college players and making sure that the time we spend, not only in the interviews, but watching them compete on the field, you know, the weigh-ins, just everything that they do here, just kind of immersing yourself in that to get to know these guys as well as you can. You don't have this opportunity again. This is kind of a 1 week. So to me, that's the priority.
College hoops. Wisconsin over Washington, 88-62. Marquette down Providence, 82-52. The Bucks losing to the Rockets in Houston by 3, 100-97.
We just didn't play right. They kept getting stops, but then we kept going down, turning the ball over and making bad plays on our own.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There is streaming news as Oscar-nominated films make their way to the small screen, with the Academy Awards right around the corner. A Complete Unknown is now available to stream. The Bob Dylan biopic is available on Amazon Prime, but it ain't cheap. The film could be rented for $24.99 or purchased for $29.99. So if you really want to see the film before the Oscar broadcast and have a kidney to spare, go ahead and sell it and check out this really good movie starring Timothée Chalamet, Ed Norton, and Monica Barbaro, all of whom are nominated for an acting Oscar. Wicked pulled in $727 million globally, which is the most ever by an adaptation from a Broadway show. The film is now also available to watch at home. It broke records on its first week of digital release, which began December 31st, and pulled in another $70 million. If you have Peacock, you can watch the film March 21st for a much more sensible price. Nickel Boys is also now available to stream for $20 on Fandango at home. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Foggy with rain and snow showers this morning, and then it will be cloudy all day today. Our high 43 with wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, cloudy with some light snow after midnight. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, breezy, 41. Then on Friday, partly cloudy with a high near 48. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor Jamie McShane, one of the stars of the new season of 1923. And Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas joins with Oscar predictions. The night is basically already lit.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Eddie checking in. Love it. In response to our question. Actually, I don't know what Steady Eddie is texting about because sometimes he doesn't go with just the question. He just tells us what's going on. So he says, Pete, in 1993, I took a trip to the state of Oregon and ate a lot of excellent clam chowder, creamy, warm, and delicious as I traveled up and down the Oregon coast. A few years ago, I tried a can of clam chowder from the grocery store. It was terrible. So bad, I could not eat it. So my recommendation to Conrad is when you try your first bowl of clam chowder, make sure you get a good high quality clam chowder from a quality restaurant in Wisconsin known for the clam chowder, or better yet, take a trip to the coast of Oregon and dine at Moe's Restaurant overlooking the Pacific Ocean. You've got some vacation time coming up.
Might as well
get
just
yourself a nice bowl of clam chowder.
Take a flight out there quick.
That's Steady Eddie. Christine from Slinger says, hands down, chicken noodle always. We've had a lot of chicken soup. That might be our first chicken noodle. And then I just lost my place because we had a text. I can't miss one of Casper's texts. Chris Casper says, where is what happened? Oh, Casper says Zuppa Toscana. That's what Kristen and Craig Knitt say, too. That's a third vote for Zuppa. Zuppa. Bob, you're the mob expert. How do I? Toscana?
Zuppa.
Zuppa Toscana. Okay. I got to try
Zuppa
that.
Zuppa just means soup.
Okay. What does Toscana mean?
Toscano.
Ah, that's fantastic. All right, so Zuppa Toscano. I gotta try that. Thank you, Chris, for checking in. Always fun when Casper texts. And then Chris from Janesville says, nothing like a good corn chowder. Okay? That's just, you just substitute the clams with corn?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little healthier?
Well, yeah, you can do it with clams if you want. Yeah. Also, Toscano is, Cano means of in Italian. And Tusca means there, from the Tusca region.
Tuscany, maybe?
Yeah. Well, Tuscany is in the northern region, yes.
I've had Zuppa Ocanto, which is it's like the town soup of Ocano. And dynamite stuff.
A side bottle of Pepto-Bismol or what?
Yeah, right. And some Ocano beer to wash it down.
That would be good.
Yes. Let's do one more here. 262 says, beer cheese soup from the Delafield Brew House. Highly recommend with their fish fry. Well, that's a healthy meal. Oh, that's great, 262. Thank you. That is making me hungry, though. Beer cheese soup, an old-fashioned and fried fish. You cannot go wrong with that. Thank you for your text, folks. Keep them coming. Bob Dennis is here in the studio. We are talking about, Bob is a mob expert. I love talking to him because I've been fascinated by the mob ever since I was a kid. And there's a great joke. I thought of you immediately when I heard this. There's a comedian named Brian Kiley who said, everybody says the mob are terrible people. He goes, I lived in a mob neighborhood growing up. And I thought they were really nice guys. There was one guy who paid me 10 bucks every day to start his car. Just to start his car. It's beautiful. So let's talk some mafia tourism here in Wisconsin, Bob.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Conrad has never had clam chowder?
Never.
No, I've never had clam chowder, no. I'm not a soup guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's what I'm thinking. With your name, we do a promotion, a nightly promotion, Con Chowder. We go down to the Heights or Hagermeister. What do you think? Nightlight Con Chowder. I don't know what you put in it. That's the problem.
I like corn.
Well, that's
corn?
Corn, yeah.
All right.
I like corn.
All right, let's work on that. Bob, you got connections. You can probably help us.
It's. I love making soup. I cook a lot. I
mean, do you?
Every night. And I love making soup. And my wife, who is absolutely wonderful, loves it when I make soup. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. She'll tell me.
She'll just eat it.
She'll just eat it. Tell me how wonderful it is.
That's a great wife.
But, like, I make three cheese soup, and that's always really good. I made one the other night with chicken, and it was almost a Toscano type. That was wonderful. Oh, man. Oh, and it's a lot of the secret is in the seasoning.
Would it have killed you to bring some of this soup in tonight, Bob?
Well, it would have. It'd be about 10 days old by now.
It would have killed me.
Yeah.
Check out Bob's podcast, Urban Legends and Stranger Truths. Now, tell us again how to find that. The best way is to Google it, right?
Yes. All you have to do is enter the name in Google or even put it in your URL because it's had such a high frequency of this is me bragging.
Oh, that's so great. Absolutely.
It's a high frequency of listenership that it pops up right away.
Oh, that's great.
And the reason I say this and do this is because quite some time ago, a friend of mine who has a tremendously successful podcast podcast and said, you can't have a podcast without putting it on, you know, the two major sources. I won't say their names, but I said, that's not true. You can still do a podcast. And if you promote it yourself and you know what you're doing and you're good at marketing, you can have a successful podcast. And so I did. And my first year, I had 750,000 listens. My second year,
what the heck?
I had 1,250,000. And this year, I'm hoping for at least 1.5 million or more.
Well, good luck with that. I hope you get a few more listens after that. It's Urban Legends and Stranger Truths. That's awesome, Bob. And, you know, this is your third or fourth time here. And I always want to get to Urban Legends, but we always get so caught up in the mob. And you can't go wrong. They're both interesting. But let's just stick with the mob since we've already promoted it as such. Door County. What is the Door County mob tourism connection?
Well, it's actually the Shipwreck Pub up there. There are several places up there that have connections, but because it was very accessible from Chicago, coming up on the old Highway 41, because obviously Highway 43 did not exist at the time, but many of the people with the mafia connections came up. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Conrad's, I thought he was just happy to see me and he was waving, but I'm not talking close enough to the microphone.
Saying we're number one and pointing down.
Yes, well, you know, I was wondering what he was pointing at. So anyways,
I've been there. That's a great place, by the way, but please continue.
Yes, well, yeah. And you know, and they had that big fire a while back, and they had to renovate, which was and they did a wonderful job of renovating. It's a terrific place, but it has a long history, and part of it is that it was originally opened in the 1800s, and as it progressed and grew by the 1920s, it was like one of the places that the mobsters and mafias went to in Door County. Part of the reason is because back in the day, they actually had underground escape tunnels. They had storage areas for alcohol so that people wouldn't, you know, find out about it into the late 20s and early 30s. But also almost all of those tunnels, that's another subject for another night. All the tunnels underneath had to have outlets because they'd have to be able to load up the liquor into trucks. And as a result, they could get out onto a street and get away from whatever law enforcement might be after them. So
no kidding. Yeah. Let me ask you something. You talked about tunnels. I know a place in Milwaukee that had tunnels. It was a condo they used to put the comedians up at the Comedy Cafe, Kitty Corner, and it went under Van Buren, I think it is, and Brady Street into Giovanni's restaurant. Mm-hmm. That was supposedly a common thing with the mob. Do you know enough places where you think we could do a segment on this one night that had tunnels, bootlegging tunnels, and are there tours of those? Because I find those fascinating.
There are a tremendous number, but many of them, because of the age of them, have been blocked out, so that you can't access them. However, just these couple in Door County, but Milwaukee, St. Paul, Chicago, there are several cities that all have these tunnel systems. And some of which started out, one of them started out as a storage area for growing mushrooms, believe it or not, in Milwaukee. And they said, this is ridiculous. We could be making a lot of money if we had, you know, our beer stored down.
Yeah.
And because, remember, there wasn't that very much refrigeration at the time. So to put something on the ground was the best way to be able to store something.
Right. That makes sense. All right. So Door County, tunnels. I love that. And what city is the shipwreck in again?
It is in Egg Harbor, in the bend of the road there.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And they've redone it up there. The road is wider now. There are bike lanes and walking lanes. So you go up there, and the food is absolutely wonderful. But that used to be one of the favorites for Al Capone. Now, I know we said that Al Capone was practically in every city in America at some point in time.
Right.
But surprisingly, he did a lot of traveling. And part of that was because he was so afraid of being assassinated that he had locations throughout the country that he would go to. And he never stayed anywhere more than 2 to 3 days at a time.
He was worried about his safety.
Yes, yeah. Because there were people that were after him because he was such a big shot. Now, one of the places that I had heard about over the years, but I wasn't really sure where it was, so it took me a couple of years to find it at the time. Now, it's been years since then.
I love that you went looking for it. That's so cool.
Well, it's a man with no life. And it's actually his home in Brookfield. Have you heard about this?
No, I knew he had like a fortress up near Minocqua somewhere.
Oh, but no. Yes, he had that.
Yeah, but I don't think I knew that he had a place in Brookfield.
All right. Okay, so you obviously didn't read the email that I sent to you with the pictures.
I mean, I saw that, but I'm cheesing. Thought the picture you sent. No, I know you are, but I thought you sent. All right, anyway, continue.
So, yes, he was looking for a place to establish as basically a summer home to go to away from Chicago. And he bought this home, which was pre-existing at the time, in Brookfield in the late 1920s. And there was nothing there. It was all farm fields.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
And he had literally had a road that he, like a driveway, built around the outside perimeter of the house so that he could have protection from himself. And he built this house. And if you see the picture of it, there's a turret in the front of the house. And that's where they had the gunmen, their watch guards.
The bodyguard, yeah.
Keeping an eye out. But he bought 36 acres with this house. And he then had it all partitioned off so that he was safe. He had a wall built around that. He did the same thing up
north.
Good
Lord.
And although with the one up north, which I'll mention later on, the house and the building that he had up there, the walls were 18 inches thick.
Oh, I remember reading that. That is crazy. Yeah. Like just cement?
Yes. It was a house that was reinforced because he was afraid they would blow it up or they would use ramrods of some kind or try to knock the house down to come and get him. So he had multiple ports where they could actually put their rifles and shotguns and Tommy guns through these holes to be able to shoot out from the house.
Oh, my gosh.
And then also in all of his homes, you're talking about tunnels, all of his homes had tunnels and ways to be able to get out to go somewhere else. In this specific house, the one in Brookfield, which was basically a farm when he bought it, he had a tunnel made from the house to the barn. And had cars that were stored in the barn so that he would be able to get away in the event that somebody would try to break in on him.
That is such a cool looking house. Is that this one right here?
Yes. There's two pictures of them. That's today's version of what the house. Now, that turret in the front there, if you're looking online, is where they had the lookouts and the guards. And if you look at the older version, you can see that's the same house.
Oh, wow. Is that still there? So that's still there.
Yes, still there.
That other picture's current. Okay.
Yes. Should I give the address?
Yeah, if it's a tourist destination.
Well, it's not a tourist. No, it's not. It's a privately owned
People live there now.
Yeah, people live there.
Okay, maybe not.
I suppose you could drive by. It's on North Brookfield Road near Blue Mound. It's about halfway between, like I said, Minocqua and Chicago. And it's the number 1,000 would be a prominent number.
Somewhere. So just drive by and look at the house that you think might have belonged to a mobster at one point.
At 1,000, yeah. But he also had one of his favorite things was, and I know this from being a kid and having been on a farm, is he always had geese. Because geese, like in the Middle East, are fantastic watchdogs. You can't do anything without the geese, you know, honking and making noise as soon as somebody comes near. They immediately put out the alarm. And so he always had flocks of geese rather than guard dogs.
That's so cool. Bob, we have a text here directed to you. It's from the 262. I heard that the mob is hiding out at a White House in D.C. I can't believe I got sucked into that. Hey, Conrad, you got to warn me about that.
You are on your own, buddy.
Here is, so this is Scott from the 608. He says, there's a 1920s Chicago mob hotel bar restaurant on a Menominee River island. Cool place. Stayed there 10 years ago. Pete might know the name. There is a 9-hole golf course in the island, lots of mob photos inside. It's a great place for a retreat, but very remote. I think that's called, Scott, the Four Seasons. It is on the Menominee River. It's sort of close to Suring.
Uh-huh.
Does that sound familiar?
Sure.
You've been there?
No, I've not been there, but it sounds familiar, yes.
In fact, I think that was mob-owned up until, like, somewhat recently. Someone from Cicero, Illinois, got arrested, and then they had to sell the hotel or something. So they were pretty active there. Until somewhat recently. Okay, Bob Dennis is here, folks. He is, we're talking about mob tourism in Wisconsin. We've covered Brookfield, Door County, Minocqua. Maybe we'll do Lake Geneva when we get back.
Sure.
Does that sound good, Bob?
Sure.
Okay, we're hanging out, and we'll have more on mob tourism coming up after this very short break. I'm Pete Schwabe. You got Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If we could fly away on wings to a place where all
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and food trucks is just a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, actor Jamie McShane will be here. Jamie is on the show 1923, which I believe drops today, season 2. Harrison Ford, Helen Mirren, Brandon Sklenar, and Jamie tells me he's got a big part on this season, and I love 1923. I loved the first season, and I'm thrilled that Jamie is on season 2 because I'm sure he will elevate the cast. He's such a good actor. And then we will have Rob Thomas, Madison film critic, who will do some Oscar predictions tomorrow night, so that'll be fun. Troy from Madison says cream of asparagus. Ooh, that's the first mention of asparagus tonight. Nice, Troy. Bridget says roasted cauliflower soup. So smooth, rich, creamy, and healthy. Okay. We've had a theme. That's cauliflower, cashew, garlic is my favorite soup. So we're on the same page there, Bridget. And then Chris from Janesville says, he's just telling us where he's from. That's Scott. We talked about that. All right. I think we're caught up on text, Conrad. What do you think about that?
That's pretty good.
People love their soup.
Yes, they do.
Scott says, yes, the Four Seasons. All right. So Bob Dennis is here. We have a few more minutes with Bob. We're talking about mafia tourism here in Wisconsin. Bob and I always kind of get lost. We're both big fans of the mob in the right way. We find it fascinating, but we're not celebrating what they do, are we, Bob?
Okay.
Bob doesn't have a problem with the mob. What about Lake Geneva?
Before we go to that, yeah. You're talking about shows, and I'm sorry I'm digressing and I'm taking away from your show here, but there That's is okay. a show that dropped that is with Robert De Niro called Zero Day.
Yes, my dad and mom are watching that.
We binged it. There's only six.
You're done. Oh, no, right.
We're done. There's only six episodes.
And?
The quality of the writing of the show is fantastic. There is no drop in this show. I mean, you're in for the ride. You watch it and you're like, whoa, okay, I got to watch another one. There are some people who are saying, we don't like it. It's, you know, there's always somebody that does this, but this is, first of all, I love De Niro and that's the connection to the mob and the mob.
He's still a great actor too.
Yeah. He's like 80 some years old.
Yeah.
His Instagram page, he just posted a picture of his child who's like 2 years old.
Oh dear.
Like 80 years old. You got a 2 year old kid.
Well, he's
what
married
kind
to
of
a,
soup is he eating?
He's married to a real trooper. I'll tell you that. So I gotta check that out. What's it? It's called Zero, and it's on Netflix.
Zero Day, yes.
Zero Day. All right. Yeah.
And it's very good. Some well known actors in it.
Yeah.
And, Angela Bassett plays the president of the United States. It is just fascinating. I'm not gonna tell you too much about it because it really, first of all, because it's so complicated, I wouldn't be able to explain it.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
However, and it's intense, and you never know who's doing what, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. Is this the way something is, or isn't it that way? Is it made that way? And then there's technology involved with it as well, a little bit, not a lot. I mean, they talk about it. It's part of the storyline.
I can tell this show's a good show just by the way people talk about it. Like, just what you're saying, I can tell your enthusiasm for it. My folks watched it. Someone else told me about it, too. So that's definitely
I think you can watch it a couple times and see something different each time, even if you know the story.
That's great. Okay, so, all right, we got a few more minutes. Bob, what do you – I'll tell you what. Your dime, your dance floor. Tell us about what you find one of the most exciting mob tourism places.
Oh, my. See, that's the thing is I'm just crazy about all of them. There are, you had mentioned Lake Geneva. There are a couple of places in Lake Geneva. And some of these places are still actively open that you can go visit. The this one's called the Water's Edge. It's a bed and breakfast that's in Lake Geneva. And that is still open today. You can go there. There are several people, including Bugsy Siegel, who stayed there. And
really?
Immediately to the, I think it's to the south, also in Lake Geneva, is something called the French Country Inn. And that one also is quite well known. It was the private home of the Hermansen family, who went on to invite other people from within the mob of the mafia as a place to visit and as a secure place. And that is remains open as well.
So they give tours and that kind of thing?
Yes, they can. You can stay there or you can have dinner there.
So Bugsy Siegel stayed at a bed and breakfast in Lake. The founder of Las Vegas, basically, he gets credit for that. I don't know. Yeah. Or he was
there as a crossroads, and it was dirt and dust. But he went there and saw the potential of because it was one of the transfer sites, believe it or not, for the military guys coming home after World War II. And there was nothing there. There was a gas station, a couple of casinos.
Yeah.
There was nothing. And he looked at it and said, you know what? We can make this into something. And he put money into it himself. He then had the mob put a ton of money into it. And his girlfriend, whose name escapes me right now.
And Annette Bening played her in the movie. I remember that.
She was scamming him, taking money.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She took a few million from him. And that's kind of what got him in trouble with the loans that he was unable to pay back to Arnold Rothstein and a couple of the other
people. New York, yeah.
And what happened is they said, this is just not going to make it. It's just sucking money down. And they had him offed, and literally within a year or two after he had everything established, it just blew up.
That is so crazy. Wow. Yeah, that's a good movie. I mean, if I remember correctly, I haven't seen it in a long time, but...
Bugsy?
Yeah, Bugsy, Warren Beatty, and Annette Bening.
I never thought Warren Beatty should be Bugsy Siegel, though. I mean, Bugsy Siegel was handsome, but Warren Beatty's like,
Not that handsome?
Well, it's not that he's not that handsome. I just don't think he's that good of an actor.
I think he got the script. My guess is he's the one that got it made, though.
Yeah, so the executive producer or something.
We got about a minute left, Bob. You want to squeeze one more in here?
That's the Capone's Northwood Hideout up north, and that is in the Couderay area. And
now, is that still there?
Yes, that's still there. And
I really want to see that.
There's actually a couple of them that there's also the Voss Birchwood Inn, which is still active, and that's where they had the big shootout with... John Dillinger, that's still open.
Oh, man.
And I'm trying to look through here real quick. The big battle they had up in Little Bohemia, which is, of course, up on Highway 51 near Manitowish Waters. And that was where John Dillinger actually had the final shootout, but not, he didn't die until he got back to Chicago.
Yeah, the Biograph.
A lot of people have died in Chicago. anyways, but, and I mean, and there's others. There are places in Hayward and in Hurley.
Let's do this. Yeah. Let's just have you back in a couple of weeks because we got so distracted with soup, and I blame Conrad. But we'll do this.
Are you going to give him his clothes back? You said you knocked his socks off, but I'm noticing he's not wearing anything else either.
He's doing just fine. Annie from Watertown says, thought my friend in Watertown was full of it, saying that Dutch guys that bought real feed business were Dutch mafia. Then I got a call to work at one of their homes in Neshota on the lake when I was, I'm running out of time, Annie. I knew he was onto something, and then Chris Casper says, I just binged 0 Day in 2 days. It's absolutely awesome. Thank you all for your texts. Great night here at Nightlight. Thank you to Dr. Kristen Lyerly and my good friend Bob Dennis sitting right next to me. We will be back to do all this again tomorrow night on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin. Don't take me to
time. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project is here, along with State Senator Sarah Kayeski, talking about a right to repair bill. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Blue Monday has been a thing ever since a British psychologist came up with it 20 years ago.
Today is a day to rewrite the lyrics to Blue Christmas.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll have a Blue Monday when it's cold.
Nice, nice. That is my new favorite thing.
Yes.
Right there. That was awesome.
See you in the bumpers.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. President Trump holds his first cabinet meeting, the first one of his new administration today, and Elon Musk will be at the table as the two men get set to launch round two of massive layoffs.
CBS News has confirmed the Federal Office of Management and Budget and the Office of Personnel Management will direct government departments and agencies to begin getting ready to execute employee reduction on what is described as a large scale. The Budget and Personnel offices have been preparing a memo with directions as first reported by CNN. The memo is expected to order reorganization plans that need to be submitted by March 13. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
The president has plans for undocumented, what he calls high-level people, to pay their way to legal status. He wants to offer gold cards at $5 million a pop. CBS's Finn Gomez.
Calling it green card plus privileges.